It's this fabulous spacecraft that's been orbiting Saturn for a good long time now, actually. It's been a really long-lived, very, very successful mission. And it's one of these things where it's actually been around Saturn for so long, we kind of lose track of how much good stuff it did early on, because people are so fascinated by the recent, the new, the exciting, that we kind of forget that Cassini's been in orbit around Saturn for a good long time and has been doing really good science all the way since day one.
So what are some of the discoveries that the Cassini probe has delivered?
Well, it's revolutionised our knowledge of Saturn and Saturn's moon, essentially. And that's not terminology I use lightly by any means. We, as part of the Cassini mission, had, for the very first time, a landing on an object in the outer solar system. Cassini carried with it a little spacecraft called Huygens, which landed on Saturn's moon, Titan. Titan's an object about the size of our moon, but with a thick atmosphere, an atmosphere comparable to that of the Earth. And so we sent this spacecraft piggybacking along Cassini. It departed from Cassini. It was released a little while before Cassini went into orbit around Saturn on this kind of ballistic trajectory to hit Titan's atmosphere and soft land on the surface. And the soft landing wasn't like a soft landing on the rocky parts of Earth. It was actually more of a squelch than already even flat.
Yeah.
Which was remarkable because Titan is the only other object in the solar system than the Earth that we know of that has liquid on its surface continually. And we suspected that might be the case, but nobody was really sure. So between Huygens and Cassini, we've unveiled Titan. We now know that Titan is, for all its moon, you could describe it as a world with oceans, with rivers, with lakes. Now those oceans and lakes and rivers are not water. They're actually methane and ethane. So you get liquid hydrocarbons raining from the sky, raindrops an inch or two across, floating down gently. You've got this whole, not a hydrosphere, but almost a petrosphere, where you've got rivers of methane and ethane carving the countryside up, in much the same way as the rivers on Earth made of water carve up our countryside here. What that means is that Titan, to some degree, looks very much like Earth, but the difference is that the rocks that those rivers are carving through are rocks made of water, because on Titan, the rocks made of water, water ice, is harder than granite. So you've got mountains of water with rivers of methane and ethane. But it's a truly remarkable world. And that was pretty much day one of Cassini when it arrived at Saturn.
That's an incredible discovery. And I think what makes this probe, the Cassini probe, so interesting to people that don't have a background in science is that we can follow that journey and those discoveries online. How has NASA done such a good job of bringing this mission into the public consciousness?
I think one of the biggest credits I can give to NASA is the way they manage their public communication of science, the way they get the message out there. And they do that by ensuring that any images that come down from their spacecraft, not just Cassini, but the wonderful Juno mission of Jupiter at the minute, the incredible New Horizons mission that flew past Pluto, the moment those images hit the ground stations, the raw images put up online for everybody to see, for everybody to observe, you back that up with an incredible social media presence. Cassini has its own Twitter account, and images and data are continually be tweeted to the universe. They've been incredible at doing everything they can to reach the widest possible audience and get people engaged with this really exciting mission. And the grand finale that's going on at the moment is just one more example of that. You could have this mission dying its fiery death in obscurity, but instead they've made it front and center in people's consciousness. They've got the word out there. And so people are actively following the final few weeks of this mission before, like I say, its fiery demise.
So this fiery demise is on track for the 15th of September when the probe is being decommissioned. What can we expect from this grand finale?
So it's going to be a fairly spectacular event if you were in orbit around Saturn, but it's going to tell us a little bit about science as we go on in. So the final few days of Cassini will be that it will have a distant flyby of that large moon Titan, and Titan's gravity will slightly change the path that Cassini is taking around Saturn. So at the moment, we're getting these flybys where at its closest to Saturn, the probe is moving between Saturn's rings and the cloud cups of Saturn, flying through just a few thousand kilometers out. That little nudge from Titan will pull the closest approach of the spacecraft to Saturn from being above the clouds to being below them. So at that point, 4 days out, the course will be locked in and doom is guaranteed.
Sorry, I'll just get you to repeat that last 10 seconds. We just got a little bit crackly there.
Sure thing. So as a result of that close encounter with Titan, much of its very distance, that little nudge will move the closest encounter between the spacecraft and Saturn from occurring above the cloud top to being below the cloud top. In other words, doom is guaranteed for Cassini. The final end is coming.
And when it says goodbye, because of its fiery demise, there won't be space junk from the probe.
This is really critical. So we have something in space exploration that's called planetary protection, which is not protecting the Earth from aliens and it's not protecting the planets from destruction, but it's instead trying to ensure that we are as cautious as possible about the spacecraft, our envoys that we sent to space, potentially contaminating environments where there could possibly be the conditions for life to exist and for life to get a foothold. So, for example, with Mars, we have to be very careful when we send missions to Mars that we sterilize them as best we can so that we don't take life to Mars, because that would confuse us. If we find life on Mars in the future, is it Earth life or is it life that's been there forever? But it's kind of an environmental concern.